Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 29:36. That's our first text. We're going to have two scriptures I want to read to you today. The title of my message is God of Suddenlies. How many believe God does things suddenly? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And suddenly, he filled the house where they were sitting, and they were all with one accord. And suddenly, how many know God does things in suddenlies? I mean, I love that, because you could just go right along in life and struggle and go through different things, and just right there in a moment of need, right there in a moment of crisis, right at a moment so important to you, God shows up just right, just then. He's an on-time God. Somebody say, he's an on-time God. In the days ahead, I truly believe that the great testimonies that we're going to start hearing in the church world are these testimonies of suddenly. I don't think it should be unexpected or we should be unaware that they're coming. We're going to get great testimonies of these suddenly moments. I told you about Trey last week, or the week before, where Trey had been run over by that truck and should have been killed, and how God showed up. All he had was a few scratches on his body, not a broken bone. Those people tried to kill him, but they couldn't. How many know, because God is a good God? Yeah. Suddenly something happened. I've had God show up in my car suddenly and take care of me and watch out. How many of you had God show up in your lives suddenly? I believe that's going to be the norm instead of the exception. God's about to do some exceptional suddenly things. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures. Hezekiah, here it says in 2 Chronicles 29:36, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Say suddenly. Isaiah 48:3. Turn over there with me. Isaiah 48:3. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. See, some things are going to come to pass in your life. You've been waiting, you've been holding, you've been just standing there, and having done all to stand, you've stood. But I'm telling you that in the horizon of time, where we are seated today in time, God is about to do some suddenly stuff. I'd begin to testify right now while I'm preaching, some of y'all ought to get excited, because you've been waiting. You've been waiting on your harvest. You've been waiting on your moment. You've been standing in faith. You've been waiting for something to turn loose and something to change. I'm going to tell you, you're going to walk into something, and it's going to happen suddenly. Look at somebody and say, it's going to happen suddenly. For suddenlies to happen, we've got to get in faith. Not only must we get in faith, but we have to stay in faith. If you're not careful in your life, you can become so complacent with things that you just lose your expectation. In this room, there are people that years and years have gone by, and your expectations have dwindled. You just begun to live with them. I remember my father. He had a stroke at 41. And my father lost his left side, or right side, at the age of 41. He even lost his speech, and he was a pastor. So at 41, his job, career, and everything, his entire life had immediately turned around by this stroke. He's paralyzed on his right side. To precede that, before he had the stroke, I remember he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him he had high blood pressure and he had sugar diabetes. The doctor prescribed for him that he would go on insulin. And so he's got this insulin situation, and he comes home, and I'm like my dad. I don't know if any of you are like this, but I hate needles. Does anybody here just love a needle? Something wrong with you if you do. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with them. I panic when I go to get my blood taken. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to go have it taken now. The doctor wanted me to go back. I hadn't gone back because I don't want to get a blood. He should find some other way to test me, because I don't want to go get no needle. Somebody say amen. God's got to heal me, because I'm not getting no needle stuck in my arm. Anyway, some of y'all work in medicine. Y'all don't care. You've seen it all the time. I don't like them needles. I'd rather be stung by a bee. They tell me it's like a bee sting. Just sting me with a bee. I'd just rather have that. Amen. I don't want it. And my dad was like that. Obviously, it's genetic. Amen. And I remember when they told him he had to have insulin shots. I mean, I never seen a man panic more in my life. And so he came home with these insulin shots and wanted me to give him the shots, which might be why I don't, because he couldn't do it himself. So I remember one time he had me stick him in his leg or in his arm. It was his arm. And I must have hit a vein or something, or an artery. Not an artery, must have been a vein. All of a sudden, all this blood come up in his arm, you know. And then it came back in the syringe. We freaked out. He freaked out. I thought I'd killed him, you know. You know, that man went to fasting and to praying. And he got serious with God. He said, God, I am not going to have diabetes. I cursed this needle. I've never seen a man get more serious about it. I don't know what drove him to the authority, brother, but he took authority. Do you know God healed him totally? The sugar, he didn't have to have the insulin. In the meantime, he's paralyzed on his right side. The same God who healed him of his diabetes is the same God that would heal him of his paralyzation, his paralysis. What was the difference? Why did he receive healing over one thing and not receive healing over the other? You know, this is an interesting thing. My dad was very inconvenienced by the stroke. It was very inconvenient. Very inconvenient. I mean, he was an athlete. He played baseball for the Giants. He was a strong man, 6'4", you know, big guy, strong. But he was simply inconvenienced by the stroke. And he would always say, there's no pain in it. There was no pain in it. He didn't have any pain with it. It was just inconvenient. Apparently not inconvenient enough for him to believe enough for his miracle. There wasn't no pain in it. I watched him when it came to the needle. He got to, now, some of you might not understand what I'm saying today, but there is the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. There are things that come against us, that attack us, that tear at us, that work on us. And if we're not careful, we can become immune to it because there's no agony and no pain in it. We just come to the point where we accept it. See, we've just accepted it. It's not that bad. I can live with it. You know, I can still eat. I can still breathe. I can still, and so some of you are living in houses God never intended for you to have to live in. I wish somebody would shout out amen. Because the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto. There isn't a person in this room that God has not declared over you that you are blessed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I don't care how you were born and whether you were born with a silver spoon or whether you were born in a dumpster. It doesn't matter, because God said you were beautifully and wonderfully made. Your Father in heaven created you. And he said this, my God shall supply all my needs according to his. Somebody ought to say amen. It didn't say according to the bank rolls of the United States. It didn't say according to what's in Social Security. It didn't say what would come through on your paycheck. He said according to his riches in glory. God wants you to tap the riches of heaven. God wants you to reach past the mortal and past this place and step into the place of the eternal. To get past what you can see and step into what he sees. To get past what you can touch and touch what he's touching. God wants you to move into a greater place, into a higher elevation. To do more than you've ever done. To be more than you've ever been. To have more than you've ever had. To accomplish more than you could accomplish on your own. God's for you. And if God be for you, what does it matter who's against you? You in a good Holy Ghost church this morning, you may as well shout. You only got to come once. But when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Heard somebody say, I went there, there's a whole lot of wildfire. Well, I'd rather have a whole lot of wildfire than the order of a graveyard. Man, we can go have church in the graveyard over there. It'd be as dead as a doornail. When you come to church, there's life in God. In him was life, the word of God. It became the word is spirit and it is life. Come on, somebody. There's life in the word. I don't know how you could talk about the word of God and talk about the God that I know and watch what God does in our lives and see how God keeps you every day, how God paid your bills and put you in your house, how God kept your foot from falling off and you losing your mind and kept your children and kept you in circumstances, in conditions, and kept you on the slopes. And I don't know how you could know the God like that and have that deadness on the inside of you. Jesus is with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake. That's shouting ground right there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He whom the Son set free. I wish somebody shout amen. I'm preaching real good. You're not going to leave here depressed and discouraged because I don't serve a depressed God. I serve a good God. If you're not careful, you become acquainted with it. You begin to identify with it. You begin to live within your means and circumstances and say, there's no other way. You're not really expecting anything. It's not uncommon for people who've been standing for a long time, believing for a long time, that after a while, if you're not careful, it just becomes something that you do religiously. You can become religious. Just going through the motions religiously. Listen, when I sing that song, it's your breath in my lungs. That's not a religious exercise for me. I'm going to share some stories, just some little ones of how God, you know, I can't, if I were to spend time telling you everything God's done for us, I could, it would take all day, and we don't have that. I got to go watch the bills. There's no faith in it if you're just doing it. Just doing it because you're supposed to, you know you're supposed to do it. You're just confessing because you know that's what you're supposed to do. You're just talking the word because you know that you're supposed to talk the word. But you're not really expecting anything. You're not expecting anything to come to pass. Time goes by and you don't expect things to come to pass. If you're not careful, you can get out of faith and you can get into wishful thinking. There are people in this room that are just in wishful thinking. We're hoping and a-wishing. We just a-hoping and a-wishing. And a wishing and a hoping. But nothing ever comes. The Bible gives us no indication that wishing and hoping is ever going to do anything for us. I mean, a wishing and hoping isn't going to do nothing. Now, that wasn't very grammatically correct, but it sure did sound good to me. Wishing and hoping do not work. Only faith works. We have to get in faith and stay in faith. Just look at somebody and say, get in faith. And then tell them, stay in faith. I want to read a couple prophetic words to you, things that I heard from prophecy over the last few weeks, things that have been said and that I've just picked up on. I first of all want to give you one the Lord spoke to me about 2016. You know, I always ask God to give us a word at the beginning of our year. And we always do Agreement Sunday and we get ready for, you know, the agreement. Me, Amy and I pray with you and agree for these things to happen. We ask you to give five things. And the Lord spoke to me. At the end of 15, going into 16, he said, 2016 will be the year of the unseen. Amen. Now, what I knew God meant by that is, he said this, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man the things God has in store for those that love him. How many of you understand God has some things in store for you you ain't even thought about? You hadn't dreamed about it yet. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. But God has them waiting for you. I don't know if that makes anybody else excited, but it sure does make me excited. That just turns me on, man. I mean, I'm lit. You understand what I'm saying? Because God, I mean, as good as life can get. I got a nice house. I drive a nice car. I've got two. I had three ducks, four ducks, one died, and then two disappeared. All of a sudden, I now have my three ducks back, and I don't know where they came from. They're not even the same ducks, but I have three ducks back in my yard. Hey, devil can't take my duck! I love them ducks. I mean, out of nowhere, there's three ducks in my yard. I mean, it's just amazing how God works. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? God does exceedingly Somebody ought to know that scripture in this word. My God does exceedingly, abundantly, above all. 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 I could ask. You can't even ask big enough. Some of you are asking so puny, so small. Your mind is so small. You just accepted where you are. You just took it and said, okay, whatever. Okay, sarah, sarah. Whatever will be. Not me, baby. Not me. I'm not going there. He said he's going to do exceedingly. I mean, over the top. I scared you, didn't I? Sorry about that. I mean, over the top. Beyond my expectation. If you have no expectation, it's not hard to meet that. The higher your expectation, the higher your revelation. The higher God can bring things into your life, the higher you're going to see, the more you are going to experience, God is going to bring things into your life in manifestation from your expectation. As good as life is for me now, and everything I'm walking in right now, my wife and I, you know, we've done this a couple of times, and this time I intend to stay with it. When we first got married, went in debt, got credit cards. Has anybody ever had credit card debt? It'd be the worst. Don't do it. And so we got in debt. We believed God and said, God, we want to get out of debt. God said, He'll do it. He said, all things are possible to them that believe. Do you know God paid off our debt? Man, we were so excited. Excited. Then we got in debt again. You know, you think you learn. And we went to God and said, God, we're in debt. Will you pay off our debt? You know God, it was a little harder the second time. But do you know God paid off our debt? All of it. And then we got in debt a third time. This is it, though. I'm telling you, this is it. It's never going to happen again. So in 2015, we started believing God to get out of debt, not only for us, but also for the church, that there was no debt, but just our mortgage. Just, God, I want to pay it all off. We began to see God do amazing things. It took discipline because we had to take what God gave us and do what we said we were going to do with it. But my expectation was to get out of debt. I mean, when I could have bought something, I wouldn't put money toward the debt. I mean, I had student loans. Anybody got student loans? That's a mortgage. I was paying like, you know, however many dollars a month on these student loans since I graduated. I graduated in like 94. You understand? 20 years ago, my. Do you know this year I paid them jokers off? We got one credit card remaining to pay off, and we will be debt free. In the midst of that, I'm sitting in my office. I get a phone call. I'm coming to the church. I need to see you. And I'm like, what? And I mean, Amy and I were dreaming of going on a Disney cruise. We wanted to take our kids. They're old enough, finally. We want to take our kids on a Disney cruise. So we started us a little piggy bank. And we were putting all our change in the piggy bank. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So we're paying off debt. But this is the one thing we want is a Disney cruise. And let me tell you something. Suddenly, this person comes in, sits down at my desk, said, the Lord told me to buy you a Disney cruise and put a check on the desk for the Disney cruise. And then y'all got together, what was it, a week or so ago, and gave us the money to go with that. Amen. So now we got the paid for Disney cruise and we got money to spend. How does that happen? Because my expectations and my obedience met. I obeyed God and began to pay off the debt to the point that we don't have any. I said, God, I apologize for what I did. How many know repentance is an important part of this? And do you know God met my expectations with exceedingly? Ain't nobody shouting on that one. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ask. I had not seen. Ear had not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of a man the things that God has in store for those that love him. I had not seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart the things that God has in store for those that love him. I think I'm talking to people that love God this morning. I just really do. I think I'm talking to lovers of God. Let me say it again. I have not seen. Ear have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of a man the things that God has in store for lovers of him. Something ought to be rising on the inside of you. There ought to be a generation going on. Something ought to be stirring. When I say that, you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Oh, you've dreamed some things. You've thought some things. You're walking in some good stuff. You've got, but you hadn't even tasted what God has in store for you. You hadn't even come close to what's on the horizon. See, and when... Here's the thing about horizons. When you get to the horizon, there's always another horizon. Ooh, 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 ooh. He said, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. Whatever you see, I have given it unto thee. Whatever you see, I have given it to thee. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. Whatever you see, I have given it to you. That's why this works, see? Because once you get to what you saw, if you look to the north and look to the west and look to the south and look to the east, whatever you can see, when you get to the point where you start looking with spiritual eyes, you begin to look past the natural, and you'll begin to look into the supernatural, and you'll begin to see that the natural has no hold on the supernatural, that God will do exceedingly. Woo! So I just can't help but get excited. I try to talk. I try to be Methodist. I just can't do it. When I think of his goodness, I just want to take off right now. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I want to run. I want to leap. I want to jump. I want to shout. I want to dance. I heard the word of the Lord several months ago, and the Lord said, we may have even been, it's been a while, but we've been saying it for so long, it seems like yesterday. You know, how many know God is a now faith God? God is now. Faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that I can't see. We can turn that around and say, faith is now. Faith is now. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Florence shall flourish. Florence shall flourish. Florence, I wish somebody would speak it out. Florence shall flourish. That means jobs are coming. That means plants are going to be built. That means there's expansion on every horizon. That means the colleges are growing. That means that there is educational systems that are improving. Florence shall flourish. That means our police departments and fire departments and our EMTs are growing and maturing. That means our hospital system's getting better because Florence shall flourish. That means our government is improving, enlarging. They're getting better. They're doing more. That means the better athletic facilities. That means better housing. That Florence shall flourish. Somebody shout it out. Florence shall flourish. Get in faith with me. Get in faith with me. Suddenly. I don't have to know what companies are coming. I don't have to know when they're going to buy the multi-site facilities. I don't even have to know where they are. I don't know the expansion of the plants around the world. I don't know how God's going to bring the economy to Florence. I don't have to know. I just know it's coming. I'm not going to be surprised when God, when I read the paper and suddenly there's a new plant, suddenly a new company, because suddenly money's rising, suddenly they extend the contract, suddenly real estate's going, suddenly. Florence shall flourish. Come on, somebody get in there with me. Get in there with me. I just want you to get in there with me. Come on. Come on, Florence shall flourish. Florence shall flourish. Your economy is going up. Jobs are coming in. Influence. This is not just a religious exercise. I'm not into religiosity. I believe the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, Florence shall flourish. When I opened up the paper and saw Honda was adding jobs, I wasn't shocked. I'd already had a dream. I saw the building go up before they even started telling us they were going to build it. I went to Kirk and Daisy. Kirk works there at Honda. Kirk, you can attest to this. I came to you, and I told you God showed me buildings going up over by Honda. And that was when it was closing down. Don't you worry about a company that leaves town. God's got a better one to fill their spot. Don't you worry about it. You say right now, they say, well, they're not going to keep my job. Take the severance package, get you $30,000, $40,000, wait for them to rehire you. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. I believe God's going to take care of me. I believe he's going to make us, he's going to see us through. And not only that, but I believe that as the church of God continues in believing, if we're going to pray it in, then we're going to be blessed by what we prayed in. God said, if you'll pray for one another that you may be healed. I just believe this. As this church stays in faith, as this church continues to believe God for Florence to flourish, as we continue to press into God for economy and for the growth of our city, the protection of our buses and the protection of our kids at school, there ain't going to be no shootings in Florence schools. There's not going to be any situation, no bus accidents in Florence, South Carolina. New schools going up all over the place. Don't think that money came in because just wise things. God knows how to bring money. God knows how to put people in there and know how to spend the money. New roads, I see it. I see it. I see it all over. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see the growth. I see it. I see it. And then I see it. 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 Influx. Revenues increase. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see it. I see it. I see it. I proclaim it in the name of Jesus. I speak it over our city. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I tell you this, Timmonsville is coming out of poverty. Somebody ought to shout right there. It's coming out. 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 Your real estate's about to go up. You're about to see increase in your real estate. Them values that went down, they're getting ready to increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you let this world system get into you. They're going to want to scare you. The world's going to, the devil's going to want to yell and roar. He comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't you let the talk of interest rates and stock markets. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen their seed begging for bread. I declare over you in this church, it will not come nigh your dwelling. 1,000 may fall at my right hand,
and 10,000 at my left, but it shall not. My breakthrough's coming. Suddenly.
Is that sinking in? This is the year of the unseen. We ain't even done yet. Things that you only could have imagined are about to come true in your life. You might say, well, is it this? Is it that? Is it the other? Will it be this thing? Will it be that thing? I would say unto you this day, don't look to the thing. You look to me. For the thing is not your source. I am your source. Stand on my word. Be not disappointed in what does not come true in the thing, for I am true, and what I've said shall come true. You shall walk in my blessing, because I have declared it over thee. I have declared it over thee. And I will watch to make sure that my blessing comes true for thee. My pastor had a word. He said, we shall recover. I remember when the economic downturn came and things looked really bad. We're not there today. I had another great man say this. It would come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. The enemy will no longer be able to hold back that which my faithful ones have studied and prepared for in faith. For not even the things that look as though they would never come to pass, for even though they look this way, I will cause them to break loose and suddenly manifest, and in such a way that no one would be able to deny the greatness of your God. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your mind. Start believing for suddenlies. Even the things that you shouldn't get for a long time and you haven't gotten, they're going to come suddenly and manifest, and no one will be able to deny them. I'll cause the things you've been standing for to break forth and suddenly manifest, and do so in such a way that no one will be able to deny it. Rest assured that I am working on your behalf, and things are about to turn. And you're headed for a big laugh. Your enemy thought that surely he would win. But I've spoiled his plans, and you will win again. So lift up your voice. Let joy flow out. And praise me now with a victory shout. Hallelujah. Go ahead, let's praise him. Go ahead, let's praise him. These are the days of acceleration, says the Lord. Days in which I will cause those who demonstrate an uncompromising stand on my word and an unwavering faith in my promises to experience in 1 year what used to take 10 years and 2 years what previously took 20 years. I'm in a hurry, said the Lord, to get things done and fulfill all that I have declared. And this is the generation that will see it come to pass. Sell it in your heart once and for all that giving that I have given, and in turn am going to give back, and no longer will your lifestyle be of that of dismay. I assure you that your future will be filled with good things and your victories will be many. Those are just a few things that I've just recently heard from great men of God, from myself. Suddenly, God's about to do some suddenly things. So I want to build faith in you. Obviously, I feel like this is more because I've got so much more to tell you. I know you've heard me tell the story, but I love testifying. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When little Stephen, our first child, was about to be born, it was a very exciting time. Everything was going great. There were no problems or complications. And I remember we went to the hospital. She started having labor pains. We went there. It was time to have the baby. The only problem was the heartbeat dropped to nothing and disappeared. All of a sudden, we saw the place jump into action. Everybody started putting on gowns, and they were getting operating rooms ready to do this emergency C-section. And for many minutes, no heartbeat. They tried to wake the baby up. They did everything they could, alarm clocks on her belly. No heartbeat. For all intents and purposes, not only was Stephen in stress, but in the natural, it looked like he had died in the womb. Hallelujah. I remember the doctor driving up and hearing his tires screech into the parking lot. He whipped in there and jumped into action. I mean, they were throwing the gown on him as he was running through the door. They barely had time to get me dressed. They ran her into emergency, got her in there, and got her ready. And I'm of course, I don't know what to do. I called my home church, called our home church. I said, listen, I think the doctors are really concerned. There's a real issue. They think he might be dead. They can't hear the heartbeat. And I remember on the other end of the phone, the man that I was talking to, his wife grabbed the phone. She said, the Lord told me. God suddenly spoke. I mean, do you understand when God speaks, it makes all the difference. All you need is one word from God in your life. It makes all the difference. She said, Steve, when you go in there, are they going to let you in? Yes, they're going to let me in. I wasn't about to stay out. She said, when you go in, you sit down at her head and you begin to sing lullabies. Just sing lullabies. Y'all, I didn't know a lullaby. I mean, I had no kids. I didn't know any lullabies. The only song that came to my heart, yes, Jesus loves me. He's my Father. Y'all, He's my Father. He'll take care of me. He's my Father. Woo. He wants best for me. He's my Father. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They took that baby out. That doctor yanked him out. And before he could get him completely loose, that baby started crying, screaming. And I can still hear the doctor's voice. Why, there's nothing wrong with this baby. Why, there's nothing wrong with this baby. Suddenly God came. Suddenly God turned it around. Suddenly it all changed. Suddenly what looked like disaster became total success. What looked like death became life. Suddenly. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you back down from what God put in your heart. Don't you let go. Don't you let the devil talk you out of it. God will turn it around. That's why I can't. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Maybe you've never had anything like that happen to you. Maybe you just never recognized how God kept you when you should have been messed up. Maybe you don't realize how bad things actually could have been if God hadn't have showed up. Maybe you don't understand. See, I do. I know what life could have been like. I know the mess I could have been in. I know the... Oh. But God. Somebody ought to shout amen. Come on, let's give him a joyful shout. Stand up and give him a shout. Come on, would you just shout? Come on, everybody in this place.